listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcast, minimum wage submissions, the ASX takes a breather, and is the market taking the war seriously enough? All of that and more next. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Thursday, the 26th of March, 2026, a day where the Australian share market fell, but only just, down by 0.1%. We'll have the details in a moment with Darren Thompson from Equity Trustees. But first, there are around 2.7 million Australian minimum wage and award-reliant workers around the country. And right now, that minimum wage sits at just under $25 per hour or $948 a week. And it's annual wage review submission, the government is backing what it calls a real wage increase without specifying a number. And that's because it says it wants to recognise the independent role of the Fair Work Commission. But a real wage increase implies above inflation, which at the moment sits at an annual rate of 3.7%. The ACTU said earlier this week it is seeking a 5% increase, which is more than the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry at 3.5%. The Council for Small Business Organisations of Australia warns an above average inflation increase adds further pressure to small businesses already operating under significant financial strain. And a decision is usually handed down by the Commission in June. What does it mean for the economy? I spoke with independent economist Chris Richardson.
It's understandable and it's fair, at least in part. I mean, the big increase in petrol prices probably already reduces the living standards of Australian families by about 1%. It could get worse as that travels through to, you know, everything from food to electricity and household gas costs. The question now is, who among families are going to pay? The government is trying up front to be careful and helpful for minimum wage earners.
To what extent, though, do you think this will be inflationary, especially given productivity growth is weak?
And that's the problem. Productivity growth is weak. If you're looking at the pie, as it were, per person, it's not growing. So if we're giving more money to some people to help them amid the struggles of the moment, it kind of has to come at the cost of someone else. Chances are that an above inflation increase to minimum wages, and that reaches eventually about one in every four workers in Australia, might add a little bit to inflation over time. Or in other words, it comes at a future cost to everybody.
And will lifting the minimum wage target the right people? I mean, will it help the part of the community hit hardest by the most recent energy price shock?
Well, remember, you know, we tend to think minimum wage means you're on the lowest incomes in society. That's not right. You know, if you're unemployed, if you're a pensioner, if you're a student on benefits, some other people on benefits, that's the worst off group. In Australia, they do get their benefits by and large lifting with inflation, but some months after that inflation has happened. So they are worst off and they are exposed.
That is independent economist there, Chris Richardson. Let's go to the Australian share market now, which fell slightly today, the ASX 200 down 0.1% after a very strong day yesterday where the index surged 1.9%. Today, though, five of the 11 sectors ended lower. IT the worst, followed by telecommunications and property. Energy stocks did best as the oil price jumped back above $100 an ounce, and one Australian dollar is now buying 69.5 US cents at the market close. For more, I spoke with Darren Thompson, the Chief Investment Officer at Equity Trustees. So Darren, after a solid day yesterday, the market's somewhat flat today. How would you describe investor sentiment at the moment, given all the uncertainty and the war in the Middle East?
Well, today I think the market's just taking a breather. There's been no new dramatic announcement in the last 24 hours. And essentially, I think the market sentiment is that Trump in particular is looking for an exit ramp from the current conflict and is looking to bring things to a head, look to declare victory and look to bring this to a sort of a close within his own control. Now, whether he's able to manufacture that is another thing. But at the moment, investors are thinking the base case is that the US declares victory, whether true or not, and looks to bring this to a head as soon as possible.
So is the market getting ahead of itself, perhaps? Are they too optimistic of an impending end to this conflict?
One thing you would have to say over the last 12 months is you can never predict with any certainty what's going to happen next. But I think there is the potential for that. So certainly that expectation that things will resolve themselves relatively quickly is definitely embedded in market valuations. The risk around, and it's still a bit of a tail risk, that there is a protracted conflict that closes energy markets and leads to a supply-led shock to global growth is not embedded in market expectations at this point. Even though it's contemplated, it's certainly not in market valuations at the moment.
What I've found interesting over the past few weeks is the, I guess, extreme volatility, because it's not like the markets are moving just a couple of points. They're moving a number of percentage points, right? Particularly that oil price. One day it's up 10%, the next day 15% down, you know? Run us through this market volatility, because obviously someone must be benefiting.
Yeah, look, I think it's very good for brokers and very good for market makers, those who benefit from transactions. For true investors, there's opportunistic investments that you can make, but not, we're not really seeing wholesale change in positioning. So it's obviously good for energy markets. That's a clear beneficiary. So it's certainly that part of the market is benefiting. But in terms of asset class moves, it's that we're seeing obviously a bit of a sell-off and a bit of a widening in credit spreads. So where it's actually in our mind creating some opportunity is asset classes that might have not been compelling value are starting to look better value as some of these risks and uncertainty start to get embedded in pricing. So we see it as a way to be opportunistic around adding to portfolios in areas where that volatility leads to a dramatic change in the underlying, pricing of those assets.
And this energy shock came at a time when expectations around interest rates started to shift, right? So we see in Australia, we saw an increase by the Reserve Bank. There's expectations we'll see another. I think the markets, the money markets, are pricing in even more. Have you had to change the way you invest as a result of the war in the Middle East?
It certainly has. It's certainly come at a time. If we just wind back, and it seems like a long time ago now, we wind back to the end of February, and we'd actually had a really strong period. We'd had a really good reporting season here in Australia, where businesses overall exceeded expectations. Earnings growth was starting to come through, and certainly we saw the same in the US and other markets. It was a strong reporting period. We AI thematic, which we were talking about ad nauseam not that long ago, was starting to come through. The capital spent on that was bolstering economic growth, particularly in the US, and is leading to some real productivity gains. So the environment prior to this conflict was actually pretty robust. And on top of that, there was stimulus coming through into the US from tax relief and other measures. So it was quite an optimistic setting on the 28th of February prior to the conflict. So we think that the underlying strength of the economy, if this is constrained to a short, sharp event, a shorter, sharper event, that the underpinnings are still reasonably sound. So if it can be resolved quickly, there is, I think, a pathway back to quite a sound economic picture. Now, obviously, the danger is that gets all pushed aside if we have a protracted conflict.
Finally, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors then?
Yeah, well, look, fortunately, going into this period, our core strategy is to be look for quality investments and ones where there are really strong positioning within asset classes and within businesses. So what we're seeing in this period is a flight to quality. So we would say that this is a time where quality matters. It hasn't actually been the case over the last 12 to 18 months. The market's gravitated towards gold and other asset classes, but what we're really seeing is a rotation back into quality, and we think that will hold us in really good stead.
Our Medicine returns for a powerful new season.
Our role is being there on someone's worst day.
It can also be a really tough place to work.
Step onto the front line with First Nations medical practitioners.
You had a fall, did you?
With unprecedented access.
You can't control what's going to happen next.
The series reveals how modern medicine and cultural knowledge work together to deliver better care.
That's a pretty beautiful thing to be part of.
Our Medicine. Stream now on SBS On Demand.
It's Darren Thompson there, Chief Investment Officer at Equity Trustees, and he wraps up this podcast for this Thursday. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, and remember you can watch the On The Money TV segment during the 6:30 weekday edition of SBS World News on SBS for more consumer finance, markets and business news of the day. There's another SBS On The Money podcast tomorrow. This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've given up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen